The following podcast may contain discussions supported by science that may be considered dangerous to some listeners and conspiracy theorists. Discretion is advised.
The Three Down Greencast is brought to you by Lucky Bastard Distillers, Saskatchewan's premier distillery, and by the Pilot Bowens Brewing Company, brewed in the heart of Regina.
Welcome to the Three Down Greencast. You are listening to the internet's only QB negotiation neglist podcast. I am Joel Gasson with John Fraser, as usual. Plenty to get to. The Saskatchewan Roughriders, of course, dropped their second straight game to the Calgary Stampeders after previously winning four games before that in a row, just like they did last time they played the Calgary Stampeders. So we will talk about some weird but good things that came out of that game. We will talk about whether is this team in trouble against good teams or is Calgary just a matchup problem for them. And then, of course, look ahead a little bit to a game that is apparently a marquee matchup, the Labor Day Classic.
Yes.
Between, of course, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So we will get into that as well. Before we get into all that, though, it's been an interesting week in terms of the CFL negotiation list.
Yes, it has been.
And
which, again, I'm so glad is public now, because it's like...
Oh, this is fantastic.
Just, it's just there.
I mean, most importantly, number one out of all of it, it has made very easy content for 3downnation.com.
Oh, yeah,
so we thank the CFL for that, for the
right
bottom of hearts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's like, wow, that is a lot of guys being added to the practice roster. You know, that's a lot of clickbait there, Gas.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think it technically started last week, I believe, maybe the week before, when the Riders removed Trey Lance from their neg list. So that happened.
Yes.
And then you may remember there was a recent NFL quarterback who got cut, and he went a little viral for posting an airport beer, which, I mean, a number of people who go to the airport will enjoy an $27 airport beer.
I mean, the airport is also, though, it's 27 bucks for a beer, which you don't feel bad about, but it's also a lawless place where you can drink at any time in the airport and it's acceptable.
Yes, that is true. Anyway, he posted it as, I believe it was like his seventh airport beer after being cut, and if you know, you know, kind of thing, that this hits better. So that was, it was, of course, Ben DiNucci. So he went viral for that, and it was exciting. It was fun. Got his name out there. The Riders then added him to their neg list pretty much that night.
Great idea. You know, guy with some experience, you know, some viral video experience as well, too. You can help out in the marketing department if you need, you know, whatever they need.
Yeah. Only 28 years old, kind of in that sort of prime age to start becoming a CFL quarterback. Except for one minor detail, it was already kind of known that he was going to go to CBS to work on their college football broadcasts, which, good for him. But, I mean, sure. I mean, maybe you know that, but maybe to take the opportunity to talk to him to see if he was still interested in advancing his professional football career somewhere else.
Right.
Seems they got a very quick answer, because the next day he was removed from their negotiation list. So my question to you, one Jonathan Q. Fraser.
Yes.
What is your favorite memory of the Ben DiNucci era in Saskatchewan?
Certainly wasn't the hangover I had from draft weekend. Because I can tell you that by the time he'd had his seventh team cut airport beer, I was probably on my 24th or 25th beer of the weekend. So my favorite memory, though, just the airport beer, reaffirming that... yeah, the airport is one of the sneaky top places to have a beer.
It is.
Because it's like you're excited about going someplace, or, you know, no matter how bad your situation is, if you're at an airport having a beer, you're in a good spot, right?
As long as it's on the way out. On the way back, you may still have one, but it doesn't hit the same.
No, that's more of the, like, hungover, like, prevention beer. That's like the hair of the dog beer, where you've been on a week-long trip. You need one or two before you get on your first flight, you know, maybe a connecting flight, just to kind of, you know, mellow the nerves and the shakes. But, I like that the Riders went out and tried to do this, right? You know, hey, he's viral, he's trending, maybe see if he wants to extend his career, and he definitely went, nah, fam, I'm good. But
Which, good on him. And then he actually posted a really great video of he's back home. He's walking up to the door in his Falcons gear, and there's a package on his front step. He opens it, and it's his suit for CBS.
Oh, that's actually that's really cool.
It's actually really good.
TV station, because you'd have to think like that probably would have been in the works. Like this guy knows, like this. You're going to a camp as basically a camp body, even though you're only 28 and you've been cut seven times. But hey, the guy knew. The riders jumped on it. It reminded us all the majestic, the glory of the airport beer. So really, just a win-win-win. I mean, everybody landed on their feet. And did you know? In his career, despite being cut the seven times, he's made $1.5 million.
Like, living
our dream job. You and I have discussed this.
Like, that is an even better job than, like, journeyman third-string quarterback who's good in the room. You don't even have to be there for the entire season. You just keep getting cut and collecting bonus checks or whatever they offer you up front. It's great.
Right? Perfect. I still think our dream job of veteran locker room, likable locker room presence, third string quarterback in the NFL is still the ultimate dream job. But yeah, that's a pretty close second. And now if anybody that criticizes these guys that go take their NFL shot, now you're seeing why. You can basically never make a roster and make $1.5 million.
Yeah. I've never criticized guys for taking their shot at the NFL.
Oh, neither have I. Yeah.
As we've seen again this week, there is a lot of bullshit politics around that. But
it'll work out for Winnipeg.
Maybe that is what that is. But there is some good news at the end of this dramatic story over the last week. Because Nadeauchi was no longer on the Riders' neg list, they have now added longtime NFL quarterback and former Dakota, one of the Dakotas, quarterback, North Dakota State University, there we go, NDSU, of course, Easton Stick to the negotiation list, who is not only a great name, but is also a great quarterback in college. Won four FCS national championships with North Dakota. If you don't know FCS football that well, it is very dominated by that area just sort of south of us between the Dakotas and Montana. It is absolutely wild how like FCS can basically be summed up in that few state radius right there. But yeah, he was great there. I've always kind of had my eye on him. I really wanted him to succeed in the NFL. He hasn't really done that yet. He's apparently landed on the Atlanta Falcons practice squad. So, I mean, hopefully I would like something to work out for him there. But if not, according to the article up on 3 Down Nation, according to a website called Sporttrack, Stick has apparently earned $8.3 million in the NFL, even though he's played a handful of games.
He has 1,133 career passing yards. However, three touchdowns to one interception.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very, very, very limited sign amongst limited playing time while in the NFL. But, that's 3-to-1 ratio. That's not too bad. So, but you're right. That's another one of those guys that's got his bag. I dealt well for him in Canada. But, like, could you imagine the marketing opportunities? Like,
in a hockey-mad country, I mean, Easton Stick is, like, that's a gold mine of a name to use, right?
Right. It's a shame that the man was never a hockey player. I mean, we're all glad he picked.
It's a little too on the nose. A little too on the nose, probably. But yeah.
Well, I think if he was a hockey kid, like, I think you would definitely, like, judge the parents for naming their kid Easton Stick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless the parents were like, unless this kid's from like the South and the parents never knew anything about hockey, but for some reason the kid picked up on hockey. I mean, sure. But otherwise, yes. If you came from a hockey mad family and you name your kid that, I would look at you and just be like, what's wrong with you? It'd be like if John named one of his kids White IPA. Like, it's like that meme where it's like, my sister is named Rose, and then it's like, because mom named her after what she loves, and then it's like, okay, thanks. And then the dad says the name of the son, and it's like some weird sports reference or wrestling reference or something.
Thanks, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. I mean, it was funny. Connor's middle name is Alex. Hmm. And one of my buddies was like, oh, naming him after the two best goal scorers in the NHL. And I'm like, no, not at all. Then I realized, I'm like, oh shit, if I was a hockey parent, like if he wasn't into football.
Connor Alex. Connor McDavid Alexander Ovechkin Fraser.
That's exactly it, right? Like, so that really, like, I'm glad, like, I won't stop my kids from playing what they want. I mean, I've definitely steered them a certain direction, but I'm just glad that, yeah, Connor is a football player, or I would look at parents the way that if I saw a kid named Easton Stick.
I mean, it's not as obvious, at least.
Apparently to hockey guys it is. Like, I didn't think. I thought no. Alex is my dad's middle name, my grandpa's name. Connor is just, you know, when the number one
There's
piece
like
of advice.
Millions of kids named Alex. Like, everyone's named Alex. Like, come on.
Right, right. But and Connor really is just the number one piece of advice was, you know, from my mom and dad is like, go through every name, and if it doesn't remind you of anybody that pisses you off, then go ahead with that name.
Yeah.
And after spending most of my life in customer service, there's not a lot of names out there that don't make me at least wince a little bit. And a Connor has never done that. So I am here. No, I'm not that big of a hockey fan that I named my kid Connor Alex.
Fair enough.
So
there's no good way to transition into this, or at least I no way I should transition to this anyway.
No.
Before we get into sort of the meat and bones of this episode, we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge the passing of one of the greats in the CFL community, longtime scout personnel guy, former coach in different levels of football, one Craig Smith. He's been a scout with both the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the BC Lions, amongst others. Just a guy who's been around the sport forever, but it's not even the most remarkable thing about him. Not only just how good he was at his job, obviously, but just the human being that Craig was. You know, I got to know Craig a little bit over the years, especially back in the day when he was with Saskatchewan, but not a ton. I didn't have a lot of conversations with him, but I mean, he still always made time for everyone. And I have never met another human being on this planet who has met Craig Smith and ever had anything bad to say about the guy. Even if you only met the guy once, you were left with just the most positive thing the most positive thoughts you could ever have about a human being. So just sucks. Just sucks that we lost him to cancer this week. It was coming. I mean, we all knew it was obviously coming. He'd been in hospice for just a little under a week, I believe. And a great guy gone too soon. And not that anyone deserves it, but he especially didn't deserve to have to go what he went through.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at the outpouring support from media and fans. The number one thing that when you see somebody of his stature pass and you see a lot of the fans coming out and saying, like, I can only imagine how tiring it would be to be in Saskatchewan and work for the Riders and be a well-known part of the organization or part of football and take the time to sit down and talk with every single fan he approached or that approached you. And that's what Craig did. And I think that's going to be his memory. And yeah, fuck cancer. That's about it.
Yeah. So we just, send our best wishes to his wife, Kathy, and all his other friends and family, and know that you are obviously in our thoughts during this difficult time.
Absolutely.
So now we move out of that back into the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and we will look back at their game against the Calgary Stampeders and ahead to the upcoming Labor Day Classic against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But as always, John, before all that, what is in the glass this week?
So we're going to do another live sampling here. Okay. It's not Malort. It is a mixture that a friend of the program, Bryce Perkins from Lucky Bastard, told me that I should try. And I haven't had both liquids in my house at the same time, one being a pile of bones. pile of bones.
Like, ooh, we're mixing
everything. We're making this
stuff. Okay.
Real local.
In a beer cocktail. Let's go.
You're not far off. It's actually a double vodka cocktail. It is the Sastoonberry iced tea from Lucky Bastard, which, of course, we all know is great. Mm-hmm. I had lots of friends from out of town in the city this weekend. We just started consuming that like nuts. It was crazy. And then again, thanks to Bryce for hooking up my fantasy football draft with a bottle of coconut lime vodka. Bryce has been saying you need to mix both at the same time. Well, neither has survived long enough in my house at the same time until right now. So we're going to give this, it's been on ice, going to give it a little sip. Oh, that is ridiculous. That is, you don't taste any of the booze from either side. It's like the tartness of the berry and then the sweetness of the coconut and the lime. And it's probably best for my liver and my new job that I don't have both in my house at the same time, because I feel like I could have about a dozen of those and then die the next day.
So, I believe in
wow.
You can live. You can live.
I don't know. If I forget to mix in waters like I did all weekend again as I approach 40... I don't know if I could do it. I could find a way to survive, but again, as we've mentioned, the new job actually involves doing a lot of work. So it's a little harder to be, you know, under the weather at work. these days.
Fair enough. Self-imposed under the weather is always not as fun as actual under the weather either.
No,
because you only
no.
have to sit there thinking like, what have I done to myself?
Right.
That's
right.
really all you can think, right? So.
And there's only so much Red Bull that Red Bull stops working after a certain point, and then you just get your heart rate up and jittery, and you want to go home. And again, you're dealing with the public, and that can be difficult while self-imposed under the weather.
Mm-hmm. For me, I have a can of the raspberry wheat ale from Pile Ooh. Of Bones Brewing. Yeah, good, delicious wheat ale with a nice little tart raspberry kick in it as well. Pretty good beer for what could be actually a summer long weekend coming up here. So.
No, that's absolutely right. Like, the weather's going to be beautiful. I'm sure lots of people are going to be making the migration down to Regina or to wherever you need to go. But I'm still a few cars short of new car target, so that's all I'm thinking about these days.
Hmm. And, you know, the public is very concerned about that for you, too. No question about that.
I mean, they should be, right? Everybody should be focused on my well-being because I'm such a, you know, I need that to fuel my ego.
Mm-hmm. The public is probably concerned about the play of the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Oof, yeah.
Following their loss to the Calgary Stampeders 32-15 at McMahon Stadium on Saturday afternoon/evening, as it was kind of a repeat of the game we saw about a month ago at Mosaic Stadium, minus the multiple hours of delay due to smoke.
Yes.
So at least it had that going for it, was that it was played at its regular time window. But before we get into sort of, obviously, the bigger questions that come out of that game,
mm-hmm.
there is a couple of things, at least I want to get out in front of it, actually say we're good from okay. this game, as you may believe it or not. Mostly, I do want to give some praise to head coach Corey Mace.
Yes.
Because I think often a lot in this league and a lot in the sport, we've talked, you know, when coaches leave starting quarterbacks in games too long, we sometimes question why. Why? Especially, like, you know, it's late in the game, it's a big blowout. Why is your starter still out there?
Certainly. And we've had that exact criticism mm-hmm. on this very program before.
Yeah. So it's important to then, when the coach actually makes the decision, even in a game that is still technically within reach if you want to get in on the scoreboard, it was just before the 3-minute warning, about a minute or two before, that they came back from commercial break after the Riders had forced the Calgary Stampeders to punt from their own 49-yard line, which was a bit of a cowardly punt.
Yes.
But regardless, so they punted from there, and then the Riders got the ball and chatting with some people, and they thought, okay, I mean, you know, that could be, you know, a really bad punt that gets the Riders back into this. And then we come back for breaking Jake Mayer's out there. We're like, okay, never mind. That's the end of that.
I take it all back.
And admittedly, in the moment, I was a little torn about the decision, because there is still that part of you that, like, sits there and says, no, I mean, you can't throw in the white flag. You got to go down fighting. You got to give it your all until the very last second. And I don't for a second believe that everyone on the field still in that moment wasn't still thinking that way. But I do have to eventually, I came around on it, and I had to give Corey Mace credit for seeing the tea leaves there, because the team had absolutely nothing going in the second half. They scored 0 points. They had like four first downs until they pulled Trevor Harris from that game. And it was just the right decision at the time to get him and AJ Ouellette out of that game. There was just no point in continuing the punishment. Morale will not improve because of beatings in this situation.
No.
So just pull the plug. Live to fight another day. You're still 8-2. There's some questions about this team we'll get into, but at least you can sit there and say, you know what? This is over. Let's make sure we get back in as much of one piece as possible as we can and get ready for the Labor Day Classic.
Especially when you're a veteran team like the Riders. You know, mm-hmm. Trevor Harris has had so much injury history and has been injured when being left in games too long in that exact situation. Same with AJ Ouellette. And you said it best. Like, even though it wasn't, I'm sure somewhere Glenn Suter was absolutely spinning because, you know, it's under the 3-minute warning, and as he's constantly reminded us, anything could happen at the CFL after, you know, with 3 minutes left. But you're right. Like, anybody that's watched any kind of football, never mind a coaching staff that knows these guys, a training staff that knows these guys, knew that the Saskatchewan Roughriders were not coming back on that
no.
game.
No.
Like, they're like your favorite wrestler that's been hit with the third consecutive finisher, you know that 1-2-3 is coming. So great move by Corey Mace. He knew his team didn't have it, and he knew he had to focus up and move on because, as you said, there's another tough test coming up this very weekend against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So, yeah, I like the move. I'm with you. I know football's a chaotic sport. We've seen some crazy stuff before, but there are just sometimes you're watching a game and you just know this is not going to happen, and this was one of those cases.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.
Yeah, and so often in this sport, we criticize coaches for not seeing the bigger picture. And, like, I get it. You're so caught up in the moment of trying to win a singular football game and how right. important every single win in football is because of how short a regular season is compared to other sports. I get it. So it can be difficult to sort of break out of that mold. And Corey Mace in that moment did it. He said, no, this is it. Like, we're doing this. And so it is very, that was a very important growth moment, I think, for Corey Mace to realize and see the big picture and think about it rather than just staying in the moment and trying to win one single football game.
Well, and that's it. You're coming out of it now 8-2. And depending how these next 2 weeks go, you may only have to worry about one team when it comes to finishing in first place, and that being the Calgary Stampeders. You knew you were losing that season series. Got to give your best chance moving forward. Jake Mayer, we've seen it, is not. He is no Trevor Harris. I mean, they can win games with him, but he's no Trevor Harris. He, you know, the rest of the team, until TBH is back, AJ Ouellette is by far the best option back there. So, I liked it. Like you pointed out in the good, bad, and dumb. That was one of the, that was the good. That was probably the only good that came out of this game. The other one being, and I know you, I think you want to get to it, is the little bit of fight they showed in the second quarter.
Yeah. As, I mean, you and I have had questions about this team's ability to eventually pull up another gear if they need to. When they fall behind in a game, when they get punched in the mouth real bad, can they punch back?
Yeah.
And we haven't really always seen it. And even though they didn't finish in this game, which is a whole other question, there was a spark in that second quarter that we haven't always seen from this team when they go down 14-2 early, especially when, you know, they had the Keyshawn Johnson drop in the end zone and could have taken the lead, which then turned into yet another Brett Lowther missed, which turned into a rouge. So there was a lot that went wrong against them early in that game. And of course, Calgary had their way on offense, and it easily could have been like the last time and they could have just ran away and hide then. But instead, like, there was a fight in the second quarter that, like, they had the 15-14 lead at the half. And there was one specific play that stood out, and it was a second down. I forget the exact distance, but Trevor Harris actually put his head down and, like, ran for a first down when it wasn't there. It might have been there. Like, there may have been some options where in the past he may have thrown that football, but he's decided, because, like, yeah, Trevor Harris runs every so often. He likes to joke about how he's a mobile quarterback, but everyone knows at this point he isn't really.
He was in his youth.
Yeah. And so it's easy to, like, pick up a few yards on a scramble on a first down. Like, every quarterback does that. You know, the ability for a quarterback to read a play and then just decide, no, I'm going to do this on a tough, like, second and four and five, where you got to run through some guys a bit to get a first down, is sort of what separates that sort of I want to win gear versus the I'm just very good gear that separates a lot of quarterbacks, I think, from being, like, great to championship level. And that was, at least in Saskatchewan, I obviously don't remember all of Trevor Harris's career, but at least in Saskatchewan, that is a moment that I, to me, that kind of stands out a little bit in terms of him being able to do that and say, okay, maybe he's starting to pick up on that. And maybe this is something that he's going to break out if necessary when the time comes. Now, I'm not ever going to expect Trevor Harris to be like Darian Durant in the second half against the BC Lions in 2013 and rush for like 100 yards and do it all himself. No. But there could be, I think it could be in his repertoire now for the right moment at the right time to pull out something like that to extend the drive when it matters most.
Well, and you've seen Zach Collaros do it when good Zach is out. Right, you've seen it time and time again. You've seen it in Labor Day Classics. You've seen it in Banjo Bowls. And you've seen it in just about every playoff game that's not the Grey Cup. Zach Collaros has an ability with his legs when it matters to go out and get a first down when the entire world thinks he's passing. Mm-hmm. And your quarterback, in this day and age, your quarterback needs to do that.
Yeah,
like he doesn't have to be hyper-athletic like Vernon Adams or anything like that. But, I mean, even Tom Brady, even Peyton Manning would run at times. And those guys are the quintessential, you know, pocket passing quarterback.
I remember back-to-back years in Saskatchewan, watching at Taylor Field, watching Anthony Calvillo and Ricky Ray run for touchdowns against this team.
Yes, 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 you're right. Like, and that's what you need. You need a quarterback that can recognize and recognize early enough that, okay, everybody expects me to pass here. There's an opening. I need to take it, even if I'm going to take some contact. So it seems.
And that was the other thing on that play. Like, Trevor didn't slide.
Mm-mm.
He didn't like initiate contact, but he kept running with the play as is and didn't give up early.
Right. And that's what you're going to, you need that of a championship quarterback probably once or twice a game. Now, do I want to see him do that, you know, once a week?
No.
You know, from here on the rest of the regular
season? I think doing it in a game against the Calgary Stampeders where you're trying to sort of get back at them for what they did to you, I think is a fine time to do it. If he does it in a few weeks against, like, the Edmonton Elks, no.
even if he does it on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Like, because especially
Labor Day, Banjo Bowl, those moments, yeah, absolutely. There's games where you have to send that message, no question.
Yes, and those are two of them. This was one of them, and I mean, they came up a little flat, and now the question is Calgary just the puzzle piece, or are the Riders not capable of beating good teams?
Yeah, I don't know. And, like, it's a hard question to answer at this point because we don't have enough of a sample size. Like, we have them against the Hamilton Ticats, but are the Hamilton Ticats the same level of good as some of
Calgary,
the others?
Calgary, Winnipeg.
Yeah, as Calgary. And I know some people will say, well, what about, you know, is Winnipeg still in that class? And to me, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are in that class until proven otherwise.
Yes.
Like, they've made five consecutive Grey Cups. Yeah, they're kind of middle of the road right now. Last week's game for them felt like a little bit of an awakening, like maybe they're starting to come back to life again. So we'll see over the next few weeks which Bomber team we get. But yeah, unless the Bombers were coming into this game with like one or two wins, until they do not prove to be a big boy team in this league, you have to treat them as such. And that's what these next two games will be. And so it's hard to say because the only other sort of big boy team they've played, as we've learned, is the Calgary Stampeders. Because I think the Hamilton Ticats are good. They have a very strong offense. Their defense is kind of average, and they're just not as physical as the Riders or the Stampeders and probably the Bombers.
If the Hamilton Tiger Cats were in the West Division, they would have given up more points than everybody except the BC Lions.
Yeah.
Who can't stop cold some nights.
The BC Lions, who gave up a 50 burger to the Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah, there's that. The old 50 burger. That was pointed out by Chad Kelly. See, and that's to me, like, right now I'm still...
There's no reason to panic about this team, but there is, like, a question lingering over them of, okay, they're good, but are they, like, good enough to get through who they need to, who we know they're going to have to get through to get to the Grey Cup? And the answer has to be, I don't know, because they've lost both games of a team against teams of that caliber quite handily.
Yes. Now, I wonder, and this is where I'm still going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm still going to say that they
There's still lots of time to clean this up and figure it out, no question about it.
Yeah, I think until they lose one... until they lose one of the two against Winnipeg, or if they lose one of the two against Winnipeg, it's hard to pass it. Because, again, football is such a weird sport that...
I would say if they lose this week in the Labor Day Classic...
Yes.
That's a bad one. Losing in Banjo Bowls, losing in Banjo Bowl, it happens.
Exactly.
Right?
It happens, right? It happens way less often than you think, but you're going into a team that's 4-1 at home, and basically, like, their veterans are running off that home juice for this Winnipeg team this year, because you definitely see, you sense the difference when you watch them or listen to them home and away. It's just, it's a different thing, right? But I wonder if Calgary is just, because in football, there's puzzle pieces.
Mm-hmm.
There are just teams that can just keep beating other teams. Yep. Like, we're talking about how good Calgary is, but they're also 0-2 against Ottawa.
Yep.
Right? Mo agrees with me.
Mo apparently agrees, yep.
Ottawa, with 3 wins this year, 2 of them against the Calgary Stampeders that just took Saskatchewan out back and beat them with a club. So I think, you know, you've got the promise. The Riders have beaten everybody else they've faced.
Mm-hmm.
You have to play who's in front of you. They've won games with Jake Mayer. So I'm still very much in the they're very good, but Calgary is a weird puzzle piece for them game. Losing Labor Day, to me, changes that thought process, right?
I think that's fair. Yep.
Like you're playing the closest thing you'll have to playoff feel until the playoffs is Labor Day.
Mm.
It's got the aura around it. You get a primetime matchup. You've got proper rest coming into it. And if you can't step up and play big on Labor Day, like, we've seen Brett Smith and Tino Cinceri have big games on Labor Day, right?
I mean, there's all kinds of names over the years of no-name quarterbacks that have won. Like,
right. Like, and that's just it. That's the magic of Labor Day, if you will. And if you can't capture that when you're really trying to be a Grey Cup contender, then I think the question marks come out, right? So I'm going to give them a pass, because Calgary, just there's just something about that matchup. I mean, just like the way that Saskatchewan seemingly matches up against Bo Levi Mitchell consistently, that it just, you know, in a 9-team league, sometimes it comes down to a puzzle piece, right?
Well, I mean, that's just football in general.
Oh, 100%.
And it's maybe a little more amplified in the CFL, because, yeah, there are fewer teams and everyone knows each other a lot better. But, I mean, that's why I don't necessarily think that playoffs are like a scenario that, you know, determines who the best team is, right? Like, and we've talked about this a number of times before. I think in football, it's a little less luck-based, because, you know, it involves very much you need to have good quarterback and good coaching to be successful in football, which is also why it is a sport that is very prone to dynasty or dynasty adjacent teams, because you have that good quarterback and good coach combo for a while, and you can be right there for a whole lot of years, as we've seen a number of times.
Belichick, O'Shea.
Yeah. Mahomes and Reed right now. Like, that's just what happens.
Alvio, Trestman.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, who knows how many Toronto rips off if Doug Flutie doesn't go to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. So, like, that can happen. I mean, the Toronto Argonauts right now, with just Ryan Dinwiddie being able to grab any quarterback off the scrap heap and have them be good, is another example of that.
Right.
In the playoffs, it always comes down to, you know, are you really determining the best team, or do the matchups determine who is technically the best team, right? Because sometimes, yeah, you run into a scenario where one team is just not equipped to beat another, no matter how hard they try, no matter how much they do. So unless there's a blizzard that day or something from the gods to equalize what is happening on the field, it's just hard to overcome. And again, we don't necessarily believe 100% the Riders are at that point with the Calgary Stampeders. And yes, in one game scenario, anything could happen. But at this point in time, it's hard to say with confidence. If you go into the West Final, either at Mosaic Stadium or McMahon Stadium, and it's the Riders and the Stampeders, would you be 100% confident that the Saskatchewan Roughriders could win that game? I don't think you'd get too many people saying yes.
No. You'd get the biggest of homers saying yes, of course. I mean, obviously, Mosaic tips it a bit, but... But it almost reminds me of the last really great era of Rider football. Remember, was it 2013 they played at Calgary in the West Final?
It was. Yep, Calgary was a dominant team that year.
Oh, yeah, and Calgary just fed them their lunch in the regular season, right? Like, beat the
brakes
off.
I think I looked it up. The Riders might have won the first game of that series, but yeah, the second time it was bad, yeah.
Yeah, but it was, like, historically leading up to that. It's kind of like where Saskatchewan and Winnipeg have been for the past little bit. It was just, that was their Goliath, and it's almost nostalgic seeing Calgary beat Goliath again. Mm-hmm. Right. So and I remember they came out in those the Stormtrooper uniforms. They look so cool and they came out with it. So but to me, again, the narrative changes. And that's the beauty of football, where you play once a week. The narrative completely changes with a loss. Again, if the split, we always talked about this little stretch here. A 3-2 is fine. You're playing five games against really elite competition,
especially like losing at McMahon, losing especially like how the Banjo Bowl situation splits. I think it speaks into it a lot too. I mean, the reverse is always like strange and it doesn't happen that often. So if like the Bombers win this week and the Riders win next week, I don't know what to make of it. but if it goes the way you would expect it, then it's like, okay, yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But if the Riders fall on their face against Winnipeg this Sunday, oh boy. Yeah, this we and I are having a very different conversation the Tuesday or Wednesday following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously the Labor Day Classic is always... It's always a marquee matchup. It's a very big game. It is a fun game on the schedule, even when both of these teams suck, right? Like, there's no doubt about that. It matters for a variety of reasons. And I do want to say it feels better and it's much more enjoyable this year. And I think there's more anticipation this year, not only because these teams are good, but because the schedule makers scheduled it in a way that these teams have not played each other yet this year in the regular season. Because in past years, because the Riders always seem to get the Bombers on the three games part of the schedule, there's been times where they've met the first time in like June or July. And like those games are fun, but it's not the same as Labor Day. And it does kind of take away bit of the shine of this game being the first matchup between these two teams this year.
No, you're bang on. I think the only exception is the year that they opened at home against.
Yeah, Canada. that's an entirely different circumstance. Sure, yeah, for like the opening of a brand new stadium, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah, but like for me, like for them to play week three, and even like me as a Bomber fan that is surrounded by Rider fans, and even my family is split down the middle. You know, it doesn't have the same juice when you've done this once before, right? So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, mm-hmm. Sunday's going to be a great day. It's one I always wish I was going to, despite the fact that almost always
I was
going to
say the Riders should be like paying for you to show up.
They really should be. The Bombers still have not won a Labor Day game when I've been there. Like, it's an amazing record. Like, Hey, Craig Reynolds, if you're still listening, I will take five spots in a suite. That'd be great. Thank you. It's supposed to be hot, and I'm a large, sweaty man. So, it's going to be great. Labor Day is always great. I'm looking forward to it. I might be listening. And the beauty, too, of having such a great play-by-play team, you can listen to either radio station and just enjoy the call.
You certainly can. But this is like, even had the Riders won against the Calgary Stampeders, I think this game does still hold like sort of a mental block for the Riders.
Yes.
I think this would have been a very important game for them to win.
Yes.
Given sort of just, you know, the roadblock the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have been. And yes, last year they beat the Bombers in that game in like June or whatever it was, like we talked about, that 19-9 game where they kind of laid the wood to them and you thought maybe they had turned the corner. It turned out they didn't. So I think not only for the mental psyche of this team in terms of being able to play the top teams in this league and sort of, you know, be considered in the big boy division, I think just for getting the Blue Bombers out of the way, it's important that they figure out a way to beat them and win this game, because this has been a problem through multiple head coaches where this team has just stymied them every stretch of the way for the last number of years. And it's just got to get tiring in that room.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. Certainly. Like, you know, this is going to put some juice on it if you can go ahead and beat them. And as a guy that watches, again, almost every down of Winnipeg Blue Bomber football every season, this is the most vulnerable they've looked. Mm-hmm. Like, they definitely look like the team that's held on one season too long. Like, you just see it. Like, occasionally you'll see a Willie Jefferson show a flash. A Nick Dembski will show a flash. Zach Kolaris will show a flash. But it's not there anymore. Death Star mode is not there. They are like seeing your favorite band when they're 60 at some small town state fair. And although all the nostalgia's going, part of you still goes, ew.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I did see something out of them last week, so we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, the vibe is definitely different. Like, even last year when they were struggling in the first half of the season, you didn't hear anything out of the ordinary from Mike O'Shea. You didn't hear anything ordinary from out of the coaching staff. There was just a lot of weird...
Pierce was still there, not throwing his quarterbacks under
the bus. Exactly. So, and then, you know, there's not... Mike O'Shea is not out there making weird 60-yard field goal decisions. And then, you know, really trying to defend it weirdly publicly after the game. Like, he's obviously going to defend his decision, but he did it in a very sort of, like, very defensive kind of way. Yeah. Speaking in a way that, like, of a coach who... doesn't sound like he's super confident in everything that's going on in the room right now like he has in the past. So that's sort of the vibe I'm picking up now. That certainly can be corrected in a hurry if they start stringing together wins, which they are in a situation to do right now. So, yeah, I mean, beyond the, you know, the rivalry and all that, this is this two-game stretch for both teams really looks like it could be the season. Like, the Riders could essentially lock up a home playoff game if they're able to sweep. If the Winnipeg Blue Bombers sweep, then suddenly this whole thing is completely wide open.
Oh, suddenly the division's up for grabs, which would be absolutely crazy with the way the Riders have started and the way we've talked about these teams. Like, I you and I love chaos, and I want to see, like, I keep talking about 2011 when it was a 10-8 record, won the division. I love that. I want to see that again. And just because, like, I'm a sicko, I'd love to see Winnipeg sweep, you know, the entire series.
Every woman knows the feeling, that quick glance over your shoulder in a parking lot, the moment you grip your keys a little tighter walking home. That's exactly why She's Birdie created Birdie 3.0, a personal safety alarm designed by women for women. Just pull the pin and Birdie sounds a loud, attention-grabbing siren. We are talking as loud as a jet engine at 100 feet to help deter danger and alert people nearby. And the new Birdie 3.0 is even better. It's rechargeable, includes a built-in flashlight, and features an on and off switch, so it activates only when you want it to. No embarrassing false alarms. It's small, non-violent, travel safe, and easy to clip to your keys, bag, or backpack, so it's always within reach. It's also super cute and comes in tons of colors to match basically any outfit, so you actually want to have it on you, because everyone deserves to feel safer. Learn more and get your Birdie 3.0 today at cheesebirdie.com.